You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Don't write off the Detroit Lions as an easy opponent for the Chicago Bears to start the 2020 season. Welcome into the Locked On Bears podcast, brought to you by NFL Game Pass. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. See all the action from every game with full game replays, or you can also replay an entire game and catch all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I cover the Chicago Bears for BearsWire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today, we'll put together a game plan for the Chicago Bears to defeat the Detroit Lions on Sunday. We'll start with some of the Bears' biggest concerns in this matchup, and specifically what they need to look out for. And then we'll look at how this Bears defense can slow down Matthew Stafford and company on offense, and how Mitch Trubisky can recreate some of his past success against Detroit. We've seen plenty of seasons in the past decade where the Lions get some attention and some hype as a potential surprise team or a bounce-back team, a team that's going to do better than people expect. And 2020 certainly fits in that narrative for Detroit right now. But for some reason, for me, it feels like this year is just a little bit different. Not that there aren't still some very serious concerns about this team, but there's a certain baseline level of talent that they've been able to acquire under Matt Patricia that should give at least the Chicago Bears some pause in week one. This Lions defense was bad in 2019, and coaching with Matt Patricia was one of the big concerns there. But now that they've added a couple of other pieces up front, I would expect Patricia to even more so consistently and constantly mix up what they're doing in their front seven and at the line of scrimmage to try and confuse both Mitchell Trubisky and Cody Whitehair when it comes to the pass protection. And the Lions added Jamie Collins, formerly of the New England Patriots, from Matt Patricia's Patriots defense, and he really is a do-everything type linebacker in that scheme. He'll play some edge rusher, he'll play some defensive line, he'll play some inside linebacker, he'll cover guys up and down the field. He's really a do-it-all, everything-well type player, not just a master of none, but a true jack of all trades. So even though they're listed as a 4-3 team on their depth chart, it wouldn't surprise me if at times they go to some 3-4 looks with Jamie Collins and Trey Flowers, or even the former Bears linebacker Christian Jones has done some of that edge rushing for them in a similar role before Jamie Collins got there. So now they have a couple of different guys that can line up in a lot of different places in that front seven. So I think you're going to see some defensive linemen lining up at funky spots, some linebackers doing some different things to try and make Mitch Trubisky uncomfortable at the line of scrimmage before the snap, and then change everything after the snap so he doesn't have a great opportunity to really figure out what he wants to do. I also have some concerns with the offensive skill position talent the Lions have. At wide receiver, of course, Kenny Galladay and Marvin Jones are as good of a number one, number two wide receiver duo as you can find around the NFL right now. They're really up there among the better tandems in the league. Plus, they've got Danny Amendola in the slot. They got some speed guys in their rotation as well that they can mix in there, kind of like the Bears want to do with Darnell Mooney and Ted Ginn Jr. Really excited to see what their tight end TJ Hockenson can do in year two. And they've added to the running back room. Adrian Peterson, albeit well over the hill, has long been a Bears killer, and they drafted rookie DeAndre Swift in the second round this year. He's listed fourth on their depth chart, but they've got a lot of depth and quality talent at the running back and the skill position. So I have a little bit of concern of how well the Bears are going to be able to cover everybody and keep up with them, and I think especially this Bears defense is going to need to win at the line of scrimmage, both in run defense and pass defense, to make sure that Matthew Stafford can't get too comfortable, that the running game can't get going too easily, so that these Lions weapons don't have as much time to work against the Bears players in the secondary. The one other storyline that I think has gotten a little bit overlooked in all of this is that the Lions' backup quarterback is Chase Daniel, a guy who spent a lot of time with Mitch Trubisky and Matt Nagy over the last couple of years, was really more like an assistant coach to Trubisky than a true backup quarterback. So he really knows how the Bears starter ticks, and he's going to know what this Lions defense can do to throw him off, what they should avoid to play to Mitch's weaknesses as opposed to his strengths, and I have a feeling he's going to be able to advise this Lions defense quite a bit on not only Mitch himself, but this Bears offense and what we can expect. Obviously, Mitch has grown this offseason and won't be the exact same quarterback he was last year, and the Bears offense looking to take a new identity and grow, so it won't be exactly the same as what Chase Daniel saw in Chicago, but I can't help but feel like, given how advantageous he was off the field with the Bears, he should be a pretty nice asset for the Lions to have ahead of this Week 1 matchup. Is he going to be the difference between a win and a loss? No, but I think it's something worth keeping an eye on, and at least interesting to find where a former friend ended up. But enough about the concerns. Let's put our best coaching visor on here, and let's put together a little bit of a game plan. If we're going to run the Chicago Bears, how are we going to defeat the Detroit Lions? We'll take a closer look at the Lions' offensive and defensive schemes and put together a plan of how to attack them next on Locked On Bears. When I was studying the Detroit Lions for this podcast episode, the first place I went was to the All-22 film on NFL Game Pass. I've been a longtime subscriber, and now it's time for you to get football on your time this season with NFL Game Pass, where you can catch every snap from every game with their full game replays, or you can see all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game, every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down football's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best, like Akeem Hicks, Eddie Jackson, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. So go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Football only really stops for injuries at this point. And, you know, as you get older, it becomes a little bit harder to be at your best every single day without maybe a little bit of support. But luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. Their CBD Freeze with menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or a shareable squeeze tube. They also have CBD Recover, which combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. To make it even easier and to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code LOCKEDONNFL at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code LOCKEDONNFL for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. Let's start with this Lions offense, because that appears to be the strength of the team, given how well Matthew Stafford was playing last season before his injury, and perhaps more so, just given how poorly their defense played for much of last season. This is an offense with some real firepower, with a quarterback that likes to take shots downfield, and receivers like Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones that can win on the outside downfield, especially in a lot of man-to-man coverage. But now they add in a healthier TJ Hockenson, Danny Amendola over the middle, and some quality running backs out of the backfield. You can see where this passing attack has the potential to do some real damage. and get the Lions going in some shootouts as this season goes along. But their offensive line remains, I guess, a question mark. They've taken some steps to try and improve it, and it remains to be seen how well improved they will be. You know, we talked on yesterday's Crossover Thursday podcast with Matt Deary from Locked On Lions about how it's that right side of the Detroit Lions offensive line in particular that appears to be the more vulnerable. You got a new starter, Halepuli Vaitai from the Philadelphia Eagles came over and is starting at right tackle. And then their rookie, Jonah Jackson, a third-round pick, who I really liked out of Ohio State. So it's not just purely, well, he's a rookie, so he's going to be bad, because I think Jonah Jackson is going to be a very good NFL player. Regardless, still a first-year player at right guard with a mediocre right tackle next to him. That's a great opportunity for Akeem Hicks on the interior against the rookie, as well as Khalil Mack on the outside, assuming he is ready to go. He was limited at the Bears' practice on Thursday, and Robert Quinn was out for the second straight day of practice leading up to this Lions game. Some real question marks, if you ask me, about whether or not Quinn is going to be able to play, and that would mean a lot of Barkavius Mingo and James Vaughters opposite Khalil Mack. Not necessarily the way you want to start the season, but if I'm this Bears' defense, I'm Chuck Pagano in this front seven in particular, I'm putting Khalil Mack on there, the left side of my defense, across from the right tackle. I'm putting Akeem Hicks on the left side of my defense, across from the right guard. And then I'm throwing everybody else off that left edge. Because you know, if you're putting Hicks and Mack over there, they're going to want to send as much help as they can there. So bring linebackers and cornerbacks from that opposite side, that left side. Make them determine, okay, are we going to let the slot cornerback get a free run at the quarterback? Or are we going to put two or three bodies on Khalil Mack? You know, if you're going to leave a tight end or running back in, then there's going to be opportunities on that other side. I don't think the right strategy is to load up against the weak players, and because you can just send enough bodies over there to sort of cluster things up. Khalil Mack needs a little bit of space to work. Akeem Hicks needs a little bit of space to work. Put everybody else on the other side and try and get after the quarterback there, where the Lions have a little bit more consistency and experience. Taylor Decker at left tackle, Joe Dahl at left guard, Frank Ragnow at center, likely some slide protections to the right to kind of try and help with Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks. But if you make them slide right and leave a tight end in the right, then you've got one-on-one on that left side of the offensive line. And if you bring a blitzer over there as well, all of a sudden you could get a free rusher coming through. So there's some opportunities there to attack the Lions' offensive line where it's weak. From a coverage standpoint, we know Matthew Stafford is going to want to try and attack Jalen Johnson, the rookie cornerback, inexperienced, the guy opposite Kyle Fuller. Yeah, you're going to go to the easier side of the field. That should be expected, and we should expect Johnson might have some difficulty with talents like Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay. And to some extent, I mean, you can't just baby him all game, right? I think you could try and maybe bait Stafford a little bit where, you know, make it look pre-snap like Johnson is one-on-one. Maybe you've got sort of Eddie Jackson just sitting back there as a single deep safety, and you feel like it's just going to be Johnson outside, and then you kind of roll your safeties in coverage so you can switch to, you know, a two-deep zone in that regard, or two-man with two-deep safeties and man coverage underneath, where Tashaun Gibson starts out up in the box and Stafford thinks he's just going to stay there, and then he drops back into coverage to the deep end to try and provide that secondary shell behind Jalen Johnson. So maybe Stafford doesn't see that safety rolling over there and try to take that shot downfield. You know, little opportunities like that to try and think ahead of what the Lions might try to do to you and then bait them into doing that and take advantage of them, therefore doing that. Because we saw last year, Stafford likes to throw a lot of the deep go routes, a lot of deep crossers over the middle of the field, and some deep out routes as well. So if I'm the Bears, obviously you can never be too predictable. So we're not saying do these same things every single snap, because you kind of have to flow with the game and in certain situations. But I would try and lean on a lot of cover two zone in particular, because that'll give you the opportunity to have Jalen Johnson and Kyle Fuller play some of those underneath zones on the outside with two deep zone shells over the top. So you have some protection there for the deep vertical shots downfield. And the crossing routes aren't going to be able to kill you, because you have your middle linebacker in particular getting some deep depth, and you're not going to have to trail that crossing player in man-to-man coverage. You're going to be able to pass it off among players, and it's going to be a little bit difficult to find those windows without some precision timing from Matthew Stafford. Really, what you're doing in that sense, especially if you play your outside cornerbacks in more of a cloud coverage, a little bit softer and off the line of scrimmage, you're encouraging him to check down. That's the idea here. You kind of let people play off, take away the deep opportunities. And if Matthew Stafford wants to throw it to his running back out of the backfield for 3 yards in the left flat, or throw a little underneath drag route or a little curl to his tight end over the middle, I think you can live with that. I think you can try and, they're going to be able to move the ball sometimes in that way. And this is not an every down kind of strategy, but if you can bait Stafford into some of those deeper throws because he wants to take those shots downfield, he wants to be an aggressive quarterback. So force him to be conservative and, make him play differently than he wants to play. And maybe you'll get him forcing a few balls downfield that he shouldn't. And maybe you'll have some opportunities to do so. Because one PFF stat I'll leave you with before we switch over to the other side of the ball. Last season, Matthew Stafford threw 5 interceptions. All 5 of those interceptions came on passes that traveled 20-plus yards in the air. So he's not throwing interceptions on those underneath balls. He's chucking them up deep, and that's an opportunity for Eddie Jackson, Kyle Fuller, Tashaun Gibson, Jalen Johnson to use those ball skills that Ryan Pace covets to make that turnover and be a difference maker in the game. Because we're expecting Mitch Trubisky to be somewhat of a difference maker in this game the way he has in the last few matchups against the Detroit Lions. We'll break down why he's had so much success against Detroit and what the Bears can do to scheme him to success this week next on Locked On Bears. In the NFL, there's no such thing as a simple answer to anything. It's always more complicated and less black and white than we think it is. But when it comes to Mitch Trubisky's success against this Lions defensive scheme, I think we can point to one clear, strong reason as to why he's had success. And there's other reasons in this. There's other factors beyond this. But from a schematic standpoint and a matchup standpoint, the Detroit Lions are a defense that plays majority man coverage. They're one of 3 teams in the NFL that plays majority man coverage anymore. It is the Lions, it is the Dolphins, and it is the New England Patriots. All 3, either Bill Belichick or under that Bill Belichick tree with Brian Flores, of course, in New England. I believe the Titans are also up there, but not quite nearly as much as the Lions, Dolphins, and Patriots with Mike Vrabel coming from that Bill Belichick tree, but he kind of has branched off a bit on his own and pun intended, and done his own thing in Tennessee. So when you have a defense that's going to play a lot of man-to-man coverage, for a quarterback like Mitch Trubisky, it takes then less thinking. When he's trying to read his receivers, the routes, the route concepts, and the coverages that they're facing, he doesn't necessarily have to think, okay, is this a zone coverage? Yes, no, it is a zone coverage. Which zone is it? Okay, it is cover 3, then that means where is this player going to be in relation to my routes? If he can kind of, in your drop back, as you're going to the bottom of your drop, you're looking at your safeties to see middle of the field open or middle of the field closed. 1 deep safety or 2, then you tend to look back down to linebackers to see, okay, zone or man coverage. And if he can quickly get to that man coverage read, he can pretty easily account for most of the defenders on the field. He doesn't have to worry as much about, okay, if I throw it here, there's not going to be an extra player there that I wasn't expecting in some sort of zone coverage. I see the player trailing my receiver. I know he's open. I can see it and then throw it. It doesn't require as much anticipation in that regard. You don't have to throw to a spot, necessarily an open area in coverage, and let somebody come to it. You can kind of see them the way through and put the ball where it needs to go. So it's a little bit simplistic in that regard, and it's about Patricia kind of trusting his players to win their one-on-one matchups, and their defense was not good enough last year. They didn't have the talent to win those one-on-one man-to-man coverage matchups. So from a coverage standpoint, they don't mix up a lot. They don't disguise a lot, again, in the back end on coverage to make life difficult for Trubisky. I think they'll try and do that on the front end with that front 7, like we talked about at the beginning. But from a passing standpoint, I think that's the biggest reason why Trubisky has had success against this Lions defense. And so as I look at the 2020 version of what Detroit wants to do and what the Bears should do to counteract them, I think both from a philosophy standpoint and from a matchup standpoint, the Bears need to get physical in the running game, particularly right up the middle. When you look at this Lions linebacking core and even in the defensive backfield, they have some real athletes back there. Jamie Collins, Christian Jones, Jared Davis, they can pretty well fly from sideline to sideline. They're not all Roquan Smith level, but Jamie Collins especially can do a little bit of everything. They've got their weaknesses, certainly. A lot of missed tackles from that group. They're not even all great in run defense, but they can move well. And so it doesn't feel like a game to me where the Bears are going to win by getting Tariq Cohen to the sideline as much as possible or getting Cordarrelle Patterson out in space in the flat as much as possible, because Jamie Collins can flow over there. Gerard Davis moves pretty well. He can get over there for a big guy that can deliver some power behind it too. Christian Jones, as we saw in Chicago, has that athletic ability. So I think you have to hit them up the middle. And I don't see a lot of interior defensive line depth for the Lions. So I'd like to see the Bears try and keep them in that base defense, because right now their defensive tackles on the inside, the nose tackle Danny Shelton, a former first-round pick by the Cleveland Browns who spent a little time with the Patriots as well. I mean, he's a big 340-pound massive human, which he's pretty good against the run, but he's not a guy that necessarily penetrates. He just takes up a lot of space. And then their other starting defensive tackle this year is Nick Williams, who was really good for the Bears last year after being a journeyman at best through most of his career, and I'm expecting his production to kind of come back down to earth. And then behind them, they have a rookie sixth-round pick, and that's like about it for true defensive tackles. So if I'm the Bears, I'm putting a fullback in the game, Ryan Nall, J.P. Holtz, whatever you want to do, a couple of tight ends on the field, and you are hitting them up the middle with David Montgomery, with Ryan Nall, with Cordarrelle Patterson, with Tariq Cohen. I mean, just pound it up there. You got to be able to get enough yards to make it sustainable, but I want to wear out those defensive linemen in particular. You know, no one's had a preseason to condition. They haven't had regular season games for conditioning. So it's going to be tough on the Bears' offensive line to be able to do that. But challenge that 350-pound nose tackle to stay on the field for 50 snaps. You know, challenge Nick Williams to play at a high level for an entire game. And challenge these Lions linebackers to be big and physical and wrap up in a pile of guys on the inside. Run some power. Pull the guards. You know, get different players up in the middle, kind of create a big mess and be more strong and physical than your opponent. It's going to be harder to be more strong and physical than the 345-pound Danny Shelton, but if you can kind of combo block him, keep him at bay, he doesn't have to be a full double team, just don't let him be the guy that gets you, but just kind of take care of him, just kind of keep him in a little silo, hold him where he needs to be because he's not going to move all that much, and then get past him, get that penetration, get blockers to the second level. That's your opportunity for this running game to not only have success against the Lions, but establish that physical identity. Because then you can stay in 12 personnel, keep two tight ends and a running back in, and throw. You know, get some play action out of that, certainly. But Christian Jones and Jared Davis in particular are not great in coverage. They've really kind of struggled in that area. So get Tariq Cohen in the backfield. One-on-one matchups with those linebackers, some option routes, a little Texas route where you start going outside and cut back inside. That's a plus in man-to-man coverage or even in zone at this point. But I think there's a lot of opportunity to attack that middle of the field. Even, you know, in some concepts that'll beat man coverage, I'd like to see some slants. You know, make your, you know, Anthony Miller can win one-on-one man-to-man coverage matchups. Make that move at the line of scrimmage and get over the middle of the field, absolutely. Or deep crossing routes like the Lions like to do. Those are incredibly difficult to cover across the field one-on-one in man coverage. And even if the Lions stay in like a cover one and leave a linebacker in there for the zone, eventually you're going to get through to the other side and there's going to be some space. Or even just a mesh concept, those underneath crossers where guys are kind of close to line of scrimmage, but they essentially set a little bit of a pick for the other person to be freed up with the man-to-man coverage following them. There's some opportunities there to hit that middle of the field, especially with play action, where you can suck in those linebackers. And again, so not only are they below average in coverage, but then they're out of position to start and have to recover in man-to-man coverage against players that are going to be too fast, or even if they're going to be in zone for, you know, 30 to 40% of their plays, there's going to be opportunities to attack this middle of the field and to win those one-on-one matchups in man coverage. And I think as you sort of hit the middle of the field and as the Lions maybe try and pack some things in there, that's when I get Ted Ginn, Darnell Mooney, get that one-on-one speed on the outside, or even just Allen Robinson. If the Lions are going to play man coverage, all right, keep up with our new speedsters, keep up with our number one wide receiver, especially if, you know, you're trying to run that physical running game. The Lions try and respond by loading up the box a little bit more. That's when you mix in some of those deep shots. Make them take that safety out of the box, play too deep shell coverage. You have more room to get physical and win those matchups, win those power runs, those duos, those gap scheme 3 yards in a cloud of dust, old school football type runs, play action off of that, draw the linebackers in, draw the defense in, hit them with the crossing route against the man coverage, take some deep shots with your new speed and your number one wide receiver, and get Anthony Miller some of those one-on-one opportunities to win with his routes against man coverage. That's where he's had a lot of his success in his career against Detroit. That's why Mitch Trubisky has had a lot of his success against Detroit. And I think the pieces are there for the Bears offense to kind of pick up where they were leaving off at some points in last season and have Trubisky continue his success against the Lions. I don't think we should overlook the improvements that this Lions defense has made. I think their secondary is looking better. Their linebacking core added something valuable with Jamie Collins, although I still have my concerns about the other guys. And their defensive line, I think, is good, if not, even though it's not very deep, they do have some talent there. So I think this Lions defense can be a lot better than it was last year. My question is going to be, will Matt Patricia and the new defensive coordinator, Corey Unland, keep things fresh and mixed up enough from a scheme standpoint, or will they be too predictable for Mitch Trubisky to be able to take over? At this point, like we said on yesterday's podcast, I hate to say it, but I am expecting a Detroit Lions victory. It's in Detroit. The Bears have struggled in week ones historically under Matt Nagy, and that was before a pandemic, but you throw a pandemic in there, and I think it's going to be particularly challenging, especially with Trubisky splitting time for the majority of training camp, hasn't had the full preseason type scenarios to be at his absolute best, whereas I think this Lions offense is going to be a pretty well-oiled machine at this point, given the connection that Stafford's had with a lot of these guys for a few years now. I think their defense has improved enough to keep up with what the Bears are going to do, and I think it's going to be a close one, you know, 24-23 Lions, or 21-20, you know, 23-20, something along those range, 20-17, less than 7-point Lions victory, where there's some back and forth, there's some shootout, some opportunity for one of these teams to have the ball late in this game with an opportunity to go win, and it'll either be the Lions that have a late score to pull ahead, or the Bears end up coming up short on that last drive in the fourth quarter. But regardless, I'm going with a close Lions victory, unless the Bears can really follow to a T this game plan that we put together. But it's never that easy on paper, right? There's always going to be different adjustments, and there's always going to have to be different variations of that, and we can never 100% predict how the Lions and how the Bears are going to play. But no matter what happens, we will be right back here for you on Monday. Honestly, I'll probably post the podcast Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening after the game, a post-game recap show breaking down everything that we saw on the official start of the Bears season. I'm really excited. I hope you are too. Make sure that you subscribe to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis, because we'll be bringing it to you 5 days a week, every week, getting you ready for every Bears game. We'll have crossover Thursdays. We'll have some other fun stuff each and every week for you. And more importantly, now is the time where we are finally able to bear down.